This is Sky Sports Radio, giving you all your racing entertainment in 2015.
And they're racing.
Racing HQ and Tab Sports Talk, daily at 10. Racing HQ is your leader for racing news leading up to the world-famous Sydney Autumn Carnival, including the championship.
Sacred Falls coming at it at the 100. Sacred Falls drives through from Royal Descent. Sacred Falls is in front and will join some of the greats.
Interviews, tips and opinions with Andrew Bensley on Sky Sports Radio's Racing HQ.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Racing HQ for this Thursday. We've got a jam-packed 50 minutes for you. We've got the scratchings in just a tick, and then we'll be joined by Racing's First Lady, Gay Waterhouse. Not necessarily to talk about Saturday's runners, because we'll do that on Saturday morning, but there's so many good horses coming back for Gay into the autumn that are already beginning to trial, and we want to check them out. So Gay Waterhouse shortly. Chad Schofield's back riding on Saturday at Moonee Valley. And then he rides at Sandown, the Blue Diamond previews. This morning, Chad has ridden a couple there for Godolphin. We're going to talk to him. Ty England, we'll talk to Ray Murray about the situation with Peter Moody, announced late yesterday afternoon. And this week coming up, it's the Karaka sale in New Zealand, and it will be a very emotional few days for Sir Patrick Hogan, the owner of Cambridge Stud, because the last Zabeels go through that sale, and Sir Patrick Hogan is going to join us on the program this morning. Lots of other key stuff between now and 10 o'clock, and at 10, of course, it's Tab Sports Talk with a special guest today, Trevor Bayliss, the coach of the Sixers, with that big game tonight out of the SCG. We'll talk about the Socceroos, the Australian Open tennis. And at 10:30 this morning, it's Chinwag with Sean Cosgrove, and he'll be catching up with Kaylin Nisbet. So we've got a jam-packed morning here on Sky Sports Radio. Let's have a look at the scratchings for Wyong. It's a soft 5. They've had just 1 millimetre of rain in the last 24 hours. The scratchings, they start in race 4. So the first 3 races are clear. Race 4 at Wyong, number 10, Snitzel's Goddess, and 13, Lady Fleetfoot. 10 and 13. Race 5, number 4, Sachet, 8, Nouveau Amour, and the emergencies, 15, Nouvelle Charm, and 16, County Crown, 4, 8, 15, and 16. Race 6, number 7, Marzia, number 7, and race 7, number 4, Lago de Barra, and 7, Strace, 4 and 7. A soft 5 for Wyong, and the weather is fine. Seymour in Victoria is the venue there. It's fine and a good 4. The penetrometer was taken yesterday afternoon of 4.71. They put 10 millimetres of water on the track in the last 24 hours with temperatures warming up. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, Seymour, number 10, Narissa, number 10. Race 3, number 5, Estaminate, 6, Miramare, and 7, Mrs. President, 5, 6, and 7. Race 4, number 5, Idello, and 12, La Mica, 5 and 12. Race 5, 6, Boomer Mill, 7, Cadillo, and 9, Coppola, 6, 7, and 9. Race 6 at Seymour, number 6, Attract the Magic, 8, Viking Ransom, and the emergencies, 12, 13, and 14. That's 6, 8, 12, 13, and 14. Race 7, 2, Neona, 3, Classy L, 9, Party Rocker, and the emergency number 13, 2, 3, 9, and 13. Race 8, number 9, Remerged, number 9. And the last, race 9, number 3, Docking, 5, Best Suggestion, 6, Hammam, 8, Sir Mask, 11, Skellig, and 13, Wolfpack. 3, 5, 6, 8, 11, and 13. A good 4 at Seymour, and the rail is at 3 metres. And we've got Mackay Racing in Queensland today, Northern Queensland, and at Mackay it's overcast and a good 4. They had 6 millimetres of rain yesterday. Race 1, take out all the emergencies, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14. Races 2, 3 and 4 are clear. Race 5, number 9, Sweet Taboo, number 9. Race 6, number 1, Addiction to Rock, and 3, Asmalatar, 1 and 3. And race 7, 12, Craig Lee Zamaya, and the emergency number 14, 12 and 14. Mackay, it's overcast and a good four. And they're the scratchings for today's Thoroughbred meetings.
Sky Sports Radio, a supporter of New South Wales Thoroughbred Racing.
14 after 9 it is, and it's a great honour during the week to have a chat with Gay Waterhouse. Good morning, Gay.
Good morning, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. How are you all going?
I'm going super. We normally have you on a Saturday, and I know Duff's very keen to talk to you on Saturday about your runners there, but I just thought we'd take a few minutes, if we can, Gay, to talk about a few of these autumn horses. You've trialled a few. I loved the trial the other day of Cosmic Endeavour, just to name one of them.
Well, I think Cosmic Endeavour's still very fat, Andrew. I don't think she's fully fit at all.
Right.
And so whatever you saw there, I can tell you, you'll see a lot more when she retrials on the 30th and then when I have her ready to kick off.
Okay.
I haven't quite formulated her program, but you can imagine that all these good mares will be heading towards the Coolmore, which is the number one Group 1 race for mares. But also I would have thought a race like the Doncaster would suit her well. She's well and truly beaten the boys at previous preparations. She's bigger, she's stronger now. She's a really top-class northern meteor mare.
I tell you, there's one that I reckon the stable would love, any stable would love to have 10 sweet ideas.
Would they ever? She's just returned from a spell at GT Park, and she's done a treat. She looks really, really well. You know, she's a really seriously big mare now. Not big that she's big and fat. She's just like a warhorse. You know, she's like those mares when they get older, they get that, you know, sort of solid condition on them, and she looks great. Her final aim is the Stradbroke, and I will be working back from the Stradbroke to try to gain the elusive Group 1 this mare so deserves.
Well, I was talking to the Henderson boys up there at the Gold Coast, and they were just hoping, crossing the fingers. I think we all feel in racing when we watch her that she does deserve to win one, doesn't she?
She certainly does, Andrew, and she's got, as we both know, she's got her foot very much on the till.
Yeah, no, for sure. She went super in the Meyer Classic, but we can't wait to see her back again. The three-year-old Hampton Court, is it going to be a traditional sort of derby preparation or not?
Well, just talking with Alan Jones, one of his co-owners yesterday, and he was saying, is he truly a 2,400-metre? Well, we don't know, because it just didn't happen down in Melbourne. But, you know, when you're thinking of trying to develop a colt, as I develop many, to be a stallion proposition, which he's now got his Group 1, and he's by the great Australian sire, Reduce Choice, who has become, quite old, you're trying to say, well, who will be his successor? What horse could do it?
And maybe it is Hampton Court. So
you never know. He's a drop-dead gorgeous. He's a drop-dead gorgeous yearling. He's a drop-dead gorgeous horse. He's got superb muscle tone. And he's got a lovely, lovely nature, which I think is so important.
And just the way you're talking there, and you can give a far better opinion than mine, but if you're looking at developing a long-term stallion, probably races at 2,000 metres are better for that rather than 2,400. Am I saying the right thing there, Gay?
Well, you're certainly saying the right thing if you want to sell them in the ring. Because in Australia, as much as we say we'd like to breed a Melbourne Cup horse, all our breeding is really to speed, because all our races, there's only a handful of staying races. All the cups have all been reduced in distance. So there's not really the races for stayers in Australia.
And is that wrong, Gay? I mean, do
completely.
We need... Yeah.
Completely, Andrew. They have a great thing. People love watching staying races. Well, maybe because it goes for longer, I don't know, but they really enjoy it. And in Australia, all the clubs think they've got to get back to 2,000, or 2,000, 2,400 metres, and they're destroying Australian racing.
Yeah.
It's become very much like American racing. You go to Canterbury on a Wednesday, try to find a race further than 1,550.
Yep. Well, I think
pushing the pee up the hill.
I know it can't happen tomorrow, but I get the fit.
Yes, it can happen tomorrow, Bensley.
Well,
and I'll tell you why, because they just get to the clubs and racing authorities, and they change the program.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going there. I was sort of saying that if we want to breed the stallions, that's going to breed the staying horses, that's going to take time. But you feel there's a good bank of horses that would look for the longer races that are there at the moment?
Ah, well, the stallions you know, Arrowfield's got, you know, All Too Hard. You've got a horse like,
Done Deal.
Carlton House. Yep. Both middle distance staying horses. You know, they've gone to stud now, and you know, one's at Darley, one's at Eliza Park in Victoria.
Yep.
You know, Ferente was absolutely booked out, but you know, when his progeny land, what are we going to race them in?
Yeah, no, exactly.
1,100 metres at Canterbury.
Well, it's not going to be suited there. I think that's when we hopefully will put much more pressure on the clubs and the officials of each state to develop these more staying races. How's Elmer Ladd going, Gay?
Going well, Andrew. He's come back, and it was so funny. An owner called at my stables the other day, and I showed him some of the Group 1 horses I'd bought for very little money. And I opened the box and I said, yes, this horse costs $35,000. And I opened the box and there's this magnificent specimen standing there. And, of course, it's Elmer Ladd, who's won already a Group 1 race.
Yep.
You know, it's so funny. It just shows, you know, if you look at the page too hard, sometimes it will constrict you, won't it?
Yeah, it does when you look at it. He won the Bill Stud in really good order. Where would you like to sort of target him, Gay?
It's a race like the Doncaster, he's a miler.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's a very rich race nowadays. It's interesting the way with the money that they've injected into New South Wales has taken the focus, which is a great shame off the Victorian Carnival. And a lot of the horses that would normally be targeting Victorian races are coming to New South Wales. And also with the overlap of the two meetings, which is just a travesty. It's madness.
Yeah, it is. Let's hope that can get rectified, having the Randwick and Australian Guineas on the same day. Just briefly, the two-year-olds, we're seeing them all come through. Flamboyant Lass has been good. Carriages, I guess. What do you do with Carriages and maybe one or two others, Gay?
The horses that raced in Queensland, New Wings has gone to the paddock at Tim Boland's to have a little break. Right of Way will come back in 10 days' time, and she'll run in the final two-year-old fillies race before going. Hopefully, she'll qualify then for the slipper, and they've got the size and the champagne stakes for her.
Yep.
You've got a horse like Carriages will be back next Monday, and she'll be heading to one of the classic two-year-old races to see if she can qualify for the slipper. She's already, you know, travelled from south to north, and she's a wonderful, durable filly by Hinchinbrook. Lovely, lovely filly. Flamboyant Lass is in Melbourne preparing for the Blue Diamond.
Okay, so it's your Blue Diamond at this stage with maybe a couple more, or is it targeting Flamboyant?
Nice Hinchinbrook down there, owned by two studs, Yarraman Park and Sedgen Ho, called Brooklyn. And he trials Friday, and then he'll see if he can qualify. He's a horse that raced in the spring or in the spring-summer.
Yep. And the other one that I noted in a jump out tomorrow morning in Melbourne was Wodgina, who we last saw in the Cox Plate. It's back for another. Is it a Melbourne preparation?
It certainly is. And he will, Dr. Bateman's, star cult, he'll trial Friday.
Yep.
I'll retrial him, and then I'll set him first up in the 1,400 metre. Can't think of the Group 3, I think it is, leading to the Guineas.
Into the Guineas, yeah, okay. I know you're under the pump and everything, but can we help our listeners into a winner today at Wyong? Maybe that the last Kentucky Dame looks to be a really nice type.
She's got a foot on the till, and I thought the horse in the first. I think it was Santa Santa, but then the two-year-old, she's going terrific.
Okay, well, that's in.
It's a lovely thing.
Yeah, debuting today and drawn a nice alley. Tommy Berry takes the ride there. Santa, that's race 4, number 9 today. And Kentucky Dame's another one in the last, race 7, number 6. Okay, thanks for your time this morning, helping our listeners always get requests on where horses are going. And we'll have a chat again on Saturday.
Big then. Thank you, Andrew.
Good on you, Gay. Gay Waterhouse joining us there. Chad Schofield's online. Morning to you, Chad, and welcome back to the radio. We've been talking about you, mate, since that fall at Geelong, but thankfully you're back on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, it's great to be back and really looking forward to getting back into the swing of things and hopefully get back to where I left off.
Well, let's hope so. It was a terrible fall when watching it. You suffered elbow and tendon damage. You got the clearance on Monday. Have you been riding much track work, or did it start after Monday?
I had a nice big day on Tuesday at the Caulfield Jump Out. So I rode around 10 horses. So naturally, the muscles are a little bit sore, but all in all, I'm feeling really good. The injuries aren't giving me any trouble. So obviously, only getting the clearance on Monday just hindered my taking of rides for the Saturday, as everyone was already booked.
Yep.
But after this weekend, it'll start to pick up, and hopefully I can get the ball rolling nice and quickly.
Well, this morning at Sandown in Melbourne, Godolphin Gallop, 4 2-year-olds that will all run in previews of the Blue Diamond on Australia Day there on Monday. And you rode a couple, Messer and Promenades, in those gallops. Messer is one that we've seen. It went back to the hillside at Sandown in mid-November when James McDonald rode. What's the feeling about this colt following the work this morning?
Yeah, Messer, today was the first time I sat on his back, but he's a lovely, lovely style of colt. He's a natural two-year-old. His mind's on the job. His work this morning was very strong with his stablemate. They ran home in some slip time quite comfortably, so I think he's going to be very hard to beat on Monday.
And having raced at Sandown, that's a bit of a plus too, isn't it?
Yeah, he raced there, and he trialled there the other day, and then, of course, his gallop this morning, so... The Sandown track won't be new to him on Monday.
Another one that you rode was Promenades. This is a filly by Lonro. Now, it's had two barrier trials in Sydney, one on the Kenzo and one out at Rose Hill a couple of weeks ago there. So John has decided to send her straight to Melbourne for the Blue Diamond preview.
Yeah, she gave me a lovely feel this morning. Again, I'd never ridden her before, but again, she's just a natural two-year-old. She's on the job. Her mind's where it should be. Her work this morning, again, was very strong with her stablemate. So, obviously, having her debut in a tough race against a good filly in Fontaton, but she's going to be there, and she's going to be she'll give the race a shake, that's for sure.
Chad, great opportunity here with Godolphin to get these opportunities. We know how strong their two-year-olds are going at this stage of the season.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm very lucky. Ever since I started my career in Sydney, John O'Shea, he's always been a good supporter of mine. I think I rode my second winner in the city ever for him. So it's good. It's good to now, you know, build up a bit of an association with him. I haven't had many rides for Godolphin, but I've ridden a few winners from the small amount of rides I've had. So it'd be great if I can start to hopefully build up an association with the team.
Well, let's hope so for your sake. It'll be just good to have you back. I know, as you said, you've only got the one ride at Moonee Valley on Saturday, but then we go to Sandown and you'll be in those Blue Diamond previews for Godolphin. Thanks for joining us, Chad. Good to have you back in the jockey ranks in Victoria.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Chad Schofield there. We're looking forward to seeing Ty England back. Let's check out when he is back from suspension. Morning, Ty.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Is it Monday?
Yeah, back taking rides Monday.
Okay, little while off, but you've been to track work this morning and building it up again for hopefully a big autumn. How do you rate the return from Hong Kong? How's it gone?
Yeah, listen, I was more than happy when I first stepped back here. You know, a handful of jockeys were away, as in Tommy, Hugh Bowman was away. Glenn wasn't riding at the time. He had a facial fracture, and Christian Reith took over to Hong Kong as well. So a few of the high numbers were away, and Chris Waller grabbed hold of me. And, yeah, we had a really good run for, say, 2-3 months. And obviously when the boys returned, it got harder and harder. And, you know, over Christmas, it's quite enough. I copped a couple of suspensions. I've got to start all over again.
Well, that's what you need to do. And as I say, you've been out of track work this morning. I know you're starting to put a nice little team together of possibles going forward. And Hawkesbury is going to be probably one of those. You rode him in the Melbourne Cup, and he'll return in the Expressway on Saturday week.
Yeah, I didn't ride him in the Melbourne Cup. I rode him in the McKinnon.
McKinnon, was it? Okay.
Yeah, the Saturday before. So
that's it.
I sat on him a few times early in his last prep, and then obviously Jim got on him, and he won his the mile race. I'm not sure what it was called, but I trialled him the other day. He gave me a really nice feel, and, you know, he's definitely a very honest horse, and it's good to be back on him.
A couple of two-year-olds of note that you've been had the fortunate to get on. Odyssey Moon, who won that good race for good rich prize money race for Rod Northam and the Bateman family. It's expected to return it's not far away now?
No, not at all. He's going to target another English race. And listen, he's a beautiful little colt that's done a great job to win the race, actually. He jumped from a gate 15 and had to do a lot of work to get into a position where he did, and on the corner, as we straightened up, it got a little bit tight for him, and he dropped the bridle for a good 100 metres, and once he picked it back up, the last furlong was definitely the best part of his race, so he went out and had a little break after that, so hopefully he's come back bigger and stronger.
The other one is Voliere. I was only talking with Gary Nixon yesterday, and it's expected to go sort of silver slipper and into the Todman. And at this stage, it's not in the golden slipper. So it'll need to perform in either of those races to sort of say, let's pay the late entry.
Yeah, he won very impressive. He trialled nicely and he definitely come out and improved a lot since that trial into his first up run. And he put a margin on the rest of those horses. And, you know, there's been good form coming out of that race as well, which is definitely a very good sign for him.
Another one that you're riding, a two-year-old, is Ulster for Gay Waterhouse. We had Gay on earlier, and I was going to ask her about this colt and forgot, but you can update because you rode it in a trial recently.
Yeah, I did. Another horse for the Bateman family, and same thing, beautiful, nice colt. I saw him there at track work this morning, and he nearly looks like a three-year-old. He's that big and strong. He's just very well put together, and he done everything right in his trials, and I'll ride him Saturday week.
Saturday week in that race. I tell you, the last one, the two-year-olds are beautiful, and we've got to see them all come back, but I reckon Scissor Kick, you just want it to be tomorrow, don't you?
Yeah, listen, he's a very well-put-together horse, and I trialed him a week ago, and he's grown so much, but, you know, all in proportion, he's not too big. He's just a quality animal, tries very hard, and you'll see a better horse this prep for sure.
Eskimo Prince is where they're going first up, so it's not long before we see him.
Nah, not long at all. His trial was, I think he's going to trial again next week, and then he'll have there'll be two trials before his first up run.
Yeah, no, he's an exciting horse, and Paul Massara told us earlier in the week, Eskimo Prince, Hobartville, and third up peaking into a mile, hopefully the Randwick Guineas. Touching wood, let's hope everything goes to plan now, mate. We'll see you back on Monday at Canterbury, and some nice rides coming up Saturday week as we start the build up into our carnival. Thanks for joining us, Ty. We'll look forward to seeing you back.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Good on you, Ty. Ty Anglin. Let's go to Caulfield in Melbourne. Kieran Maher is joining us, the trainer of Set Square and lots of other nice horses there. Good morning to you, Kieran.
Morning, Andrew.
Well, mate, Crown Oaks was the brilliant win, the Ethereal before that. She's such a nice filly, I presume, to work with Set Square.
Yeah, she is. She's sort of come a long way in a short time, and every time we sort of put a saddle on her or took her out either to the races or trials last campaign, she just got better. So she seemed to develop. She didn't get long off, but she had about 5 weeks off, and she put on a nice bit of condition and just seems to have all round developed a little bit within herself.
Well, she was so strong, wasn't she? It's always interesting to see how the fillies do it in the autumn after doing it in the spring, because they've got further improvement with age, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's only a short turnaround, so sometimes they come up, and I suppose if they have a tough spring, it's always a bit harder. But she done a lot in a short time, but she's only had the 4 starts, so I'm reasonably confident that she should be pretty right, and we'll just sort of target the AJC Oaks with her and have that as a final sort of a target, and just tick along through a few races on the way.
Righto. So where is she in the prep? When do you hope to sort of maybe kick it off, given that the Oaks is still a way off?
We hope to kick her off sort of the end of February in the Angus Arm and Asco 1400, and then she'll have another run in Melbourne, and then head up for two runs in Sydney.
Two runs in Sydney into the ATC Oaks. Well, as you say, she's done it in the spring, beating Thunder Lady, Golconda in the Oaks there, and let's hope that we're going to see again her very prominent. A couple of the other ones, just while I've got you, I always have issues saying its name, Agavurian.
Agavurian, yeah.
Agavurian.
He had a nice break after the spring. He got a little bit extra time. He went out that fraction earlier. Come back in well. He's due to have a jump out next week. And, you know, he's got sort of a Doncaster. He'll be entered for that. And, yeah. You know, wet track over a mile, well, if it is that way. But I think the big track mile would suit him up there. But he's still like rated a 96 horse, so we'll kick him off in a couple of handicaps down here in Melbourne. Handicap first up, and then maybe a Group 3. And if he hits form, well, then we'll sort of we'll have that in the pipeline, maybe the rider and the Doncaster.
Well, nice horse there. Ascadalia and Light Up Manhattan there, just a little way off.
Ascadalia, yeah, she had a little chip after Flemington and after a... Yeah, she didn't perform quite as we expected in the Carbine, and that sort of come up after it. So that would explain that. And Light Up Manhattan, he just had a little setback, so he may be, you know, maybe a winter campaign up in Queensland.
Okay, so you always like going up there with one, don't you?
Well, last year was my first year. I went up with two horses.
First year, wasn't it? Yeah.
They both performed really well. So, yeah, I'll be happy to go again, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Just a brief mention, mate. I know you were at Sandown this morning to gallop a two-year-old called Jamaica, who placed at Bendigo and is on the way to one of the English races in Melbourne.
Yeah, we purchased it last year out of the English Premier sale, so she's going to... She's had the one run and a nice break in between. She had a couple of weeks off, and she just had a bit of a look around out there this morning, a bit of a stride down the straight. She'll probably have a jump out there next week. I think it's next Wednesday. And then into the English Classic on the 7th.
Yeah, okay. But a nice filly to work with.
Yeah, I think she's got plenty of scope, so... You know, there was 900 first up. You know, I think, you know, as she gets out to 12 and 1400, they'll, you know, you'll probably start to see the best of her. She's very scopey.
All right, Jamaica, Jamika, a two-year-old filly trained by Kieran. Thanks for joining us. I hope the team comes up. We're excited about Set Square. Let's hope it's a good preparation coming up that ends up in Sydney in the Australian Turf Club Oaks there at Randwick. Thanks for your time, Kieran.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Kieran Maher joining us there from Caulfield. Trent Busserton for a quick chat from New Zealand. Morning to you, Trent.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
How are those yearlings looking for the Karaka sale?
Yeah, great. I'm just out here now getting around trying to find a few. So nice bunch of horses.
I was looking through some markets from tab.com.au in the last few days. I saw Al Rocker's name there and I thought, hang on a sec, let's find out what's going on there because the horse suffered a... Well, what happened with the suspensory? Was it just a strain that you got early?
Yeah, well, not early enough. We had to scratch him race morning, but he just strained a suspensory basically on his last piece of work on the Friday before he was racing on the Saturday. It was always going to recover. It was just time, and we've given him plenty of time. He's had 4 months off. He's out at the Water Walker at present, and... doing a bit of fitness work without putting any pressure on his legs, and he comes into work at the start of February.
All right, so that means I would read into that Sydney's not an option, but is Brisbane an option?
Yeah, that's sort of, we'll aim up at that Stradbroke, $2 million now, and obviously a Group 1. And sort of maybe the BTC Sprint and Dooman 10,000, those sort of races. We won't totally rule out Sydney, the back end of the carnival, but... Right. It probably just does come up a touch soon.
Particularly if it's coming sort of into genuine work in February. April's a way off, as I know you say, the back end, but you don't want to rush and ruin what you've done being very patient to getting back to this stage.
Yeah, well, just be nice to get him back to the races at some stage, obviously, after the disappointment in the spring, and certainly the form around him, you couldn't find any better. You likes a Dissident and Terra Vista and... those sort of horses. So, you know, if we can get him back to the races, which there's no reason why we won't, he's he's going to stack up against anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I fully understand that. All right, we'll stay in contact with El Rocco. Whether it's the end of Sydney and into Brisbane, we'll wait and see. Enjoy the sales. Hope you can buy one or two next week, Trent.
Cheers, Andrew. Thank you.
Trent Busserton from New Zealand. Late yesterday afternoon, an announcement came through from Racing New South Wales stewards of a positive regarding a horse from the Peter Moody stable. Giving us an update is Ray Murray, the chief steward. Morning to you, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
I know you can't say a lot pending the hearing coming up with Peter when he gets back from New Zealand, but take us through what the substance is and there were on two occasions that this horse had the substance found.
Yeah, ibuprofen's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. We found it in a blood sample taken when House of Hingis raced at Rose Hill on the 15th of November. He'd raced unplaced. It was in a pre-race blood sample and found it both in the pre-race blood and the post-race urine then, Andrew, from Warwick Farm on the 28th of November. It ran third there. So those results came through Tuesday afternoon and Mr. Moody was on his way to New Zealand, so we released that yesterday. Mm. There's no ibuprofen, there's no real veterinary products, but particularly in Melbourne, a couple of the universities and veterinary practices there have been using it and reportedly with some success in treating tendon injuries in horses. You'll recall we had that issue Chris Waller and ibuprofen because a feed company was including it in a special feed mix to be given to horses who were recovering from injury, and somehow it went out in a batch of normal feed that was delivered to Chris Waller, and we opened up new drums of it, broke the seals, were able to ascertain that it was contaminated feed, the problem there.
We'll wait and see what unfolds in the evidence once Peter returns. It's amazing how people react on any of these, and I guess I'll get slammed in support of Peter Moody here, but it's a long way from the cobalt, is this one?
Oh, look, there's no suggestion it's performance enhancing. As you say, we first of all got to ascertain how it, if we can, how it got into the horse. The horse actually was down, only came up on the Thursday prior to its first race at Rose Hill. And so we had RVL stewards go through the Caulfield stables. Nathan Hayward, their lead investigator here, has been through the stables here. In fact, when the second one came through, I guess we started to become concerned. Myself and Craig Sewan went around and swabbed every horse in the stable before we let them start again. But they all came back clear at that point and been clear since. So there'll be a bit of evidence to take, and we've set that down for the earliest opportunity is the 2nd of February.
Okay. And just briefly, Ray, before I let you go, the Darren Smith Cobalt hearing, are we expected to hear more on that maybe next week?
That we would certainly be getting together and having a look at the submissions. They're due in by 5 p.m. tomorrow, so the stewards will have to sit down and have a look at it and then decide on which direction the inquiry goes. Because of the number of horses involved, if the decision was to go forward, it's going to necessarily be a little bit unwieldy to coordinate, but we should be certainly in a position to say something by the end of next week.
Okay, we'll wait for that. Thanks a lot, Ray. Explanation there on the Peter Moody case, and we'll wait for that hearing on February 2. We'll chat again on Saturday.
Good, Andrew.